How many of you are glad you're saved tonight? Well, I am. And by the way, we need to get back to where it's all about Him. And nowadays in church, it's all about us and personalities and people and entertainment. It's still about Jesus. And I'm thankful tonight for meetings like this. I appreciate the time that you will take to put into young men and encourage them. And I can remember as a young man surrendering to preach and starting to preach years ago at the age of 9. And I can remember standing up in front of crowds and being nervous. But when I got a hold of the fact it's all about Him, that's what made the difference. So I encourage you to keep on preaching. I'm teaching college classes now on homiletics and teaching how to preach and how to put together a sermon and how to develop an outline and how to preach an expository message and a topical message and a textual message. Those are all things that you teach. But after all of those techniques are mastered, it's got to be about Him. It's got to be about Him. And I hope we never put the major on the wrong things. We certainly thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here tonight. I appreciate you young people. And by the way, you are in a battle. If you don't know you're in a battle, you're probably getting beat. I said you are in a battle. This world is a battle, but we're on the winning side. Amen. And I'm glad I know I'm on the winning side, and I'm glad I know the Lord, and I'm glad I'm amongst people that know the Lord. I appreciate this pastor, and I appreciate these men that are here tonight, these men of God that preach the Word of God. And Brother Vance, I'll certainly be praying for you the rest of this weekend. Thank God for your faithfulness and your commitment to the Lord. And it is a joy to serve the Lord. There's nothing better in life than serving the Lord. And I trust that God speaks to us from His word tonight. He mentioned David, and I'm going to preach on David tonight. And I'm going to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17 is where we want to be. And I want to share the message that God has laid on my heart. And I trust that it's a blessing to all of us tonight. How many of you are hot? Is there? Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you, I haven't seen this before. Remote fan auto, is that what I want? All right. Where's the fan at? Is there some? Oh, above me. My soul, I'll tell you what. That's all right. Man, I'm burning up. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Shh. A high. And dark colors absorb heat, so I'm hotter than most of y'all. I'll tell you that right now. Glory to God. Now that feels good. Amen. And by the way, may the wind from the fan not be the only wind that blows through here tonight. May the wind of the Holy Ghost blow through here tonight. We need God. I said we need God. We don't have enough time to have meetings like this just to say we had them. We can't come to church to punch the clock. We need God. You need God. I need God. We need God to do something in the service tonight. 16th chapter of 1 Samuel. Stand to your feet with me if you would for the reading of God's word. Verse number 11 says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him. For we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy, and with all of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of the oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." Let's pray together. Father, I pray, God, that we might come back to the heart of worship where it's all about Jesus. Father, we thank you for the message we've heard already, reminding us that we're in a battle. God, you didn't save us and leave us here to lose. We're on the winning side. Now, God, I pray, God, for everyone in the sound of my voice tonight, because without a doubt, we don't have to look far or long to see and to realize that young people and adults alike are losing the battle.
losing to sin, losing to Satan, losing to immorality, losing to depression, losing to idolatry, losing to pornography, losing to the wrong kind of music. And God, you don't want us to lose, you want us to win. So help me now as your vessel to be your mouthpiece. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. I pray in Jesus' name and bless my wife and my children while I'm gone. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The nation of Israel was God's chosen people. And by the way, they're still God's chosen people. God chose them not for their luster, not for their greatness, but simply because he chose them by prerogative, and he revealed himself to them in a very major way. God revealed himself to Israel so that Israel could in turn reveal him to the world. He made himself known to them so that they could make him known. They were not to know him just for themselves. They were to know him so that all the nations of the world could know that there's a God in heaven. He's not made by man's hands. He's not imagined in man's mind. He's not created. He is the creator. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And Israel knew God to make God known. They were ruled by God, led by God, delivered by God, redeemed by God, ransomed by God, protected by God, provided for by God, preserved by Almighty God. And yet God wasn't enough. So they wanted a king like every other nation had. And God gave them their request. The king that God raised up was a man by the name of Saul. The Bible tells us he stood head and shoulders above all of the men in Israel. Saul was a good man. He was a decent man. He was a man that God had chosen as the cream of the crop out of the men of Israel. But he failed God. We heard just a few moments ago, men will fail. And when Saul rejected God, God rejected Saul. By the way, God only rejects you when you reject him. And because Saul rejected God, God raised up another man. And he said this man that he raised up would be a man after his own heart. You look in the New Testament and David is referred to as that man. A man after God's own heart. I tell you, that's a great way to be referred to. Amen. A man after God's own heart. By the way, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And David had a heart after God. How? Because he asked God to search him and to know him and to try him and to lead him. The only way to get your wicked heart to be like God's heart is to let God search your heart and to give you another heart. And that was David. And we're reading here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we're watching David come on the scene. Samuel was sent by God to the house of Jesse, and there he was told to anoint the next king. He gets there before Jesse and asks to see all of Jesse's sons. And one by one, they pass by Samuel. They look good. They seem good. They wouldn't have a hard time being Samuel's pick. But there was one problem. God didn't pick any of them. So when we open our text in 1 Samuel 16, we're seeing Samuel ask the question, "Are here all thy children? Is this all your boys, Jesse? Do you have anybody else? Because God told me to come to your house and anoint the next king over Israel, and I've seen your boys, and not one of them did God say is his choice." They look good, but God's not just looking at how they look on the outside. God's looking at their heart. Remember, he was raising up a man after God's own heart. You can't have a man after God's own heart if you're picking him on how he looks outside. Is this all you have? Well, no, we got the youngest. He's out there watching sheep, but he is one of the sons. And the Bible tells us that they fetched David. I like that word, huh? They fetched him. Come on now. They fetched David, brought him forward. He was anointed to be the king over Israel. And by the way, for the rest of the writings and the life of David, you're going to see David and the way he lived for Almighty God. And by the way, he did make mistakes and he did fail, but he didn't stay down because God was with him. Now, I want you to look at this passage of Scripture with a different eye tonight, if you would. Because we're going to take and look at David before Samuel got there, and David after Samuel left. And you're going to find out there were some things that David did before Samuel came, and yet there were some other things that David did after Samuel came. And while Samuel was there, Samuel did something that if he hadn't have done what he did while he was there, David would have been able to keep doing the things he did before, but he would have never been able to do the things he did after. And what Samuel did while he was there was anointed him with the oil of the Lord. I'm talking about the Spirit of God got on David. And I'm not talking about running around and speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about running around in a crazy frenzy. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost of God getting on this young man. And I'm talking about him being yielded to the Spirit of God. And I'm talking about him being led by God and guided by God and controlled by God and used by God and emptied of himself and filled with the Spirit of God. And there were some things that David did after he was anointed he could have never done if he had not been. Now we're going to look at David before and David after. And here's what David's going to be before. He's admired. Here's what David's going to be afterwards. He's anointed. Now, I want to tell you why I'm preaching this on a Friday night. Because I fear, Brother Gilbert. I fear, Brother Vance. I fear, Brother Polk, that we're raising churches and homes full of young people that are admired but not anointed. You don't have to say amen a lot tonight. I'm still going to preach the same message. I learned a long time ago, you don't rate a message by the amens. I've been in service and heard folks say amen, and they couldn't even hear what the preacher said. How you going to say so be it if you don't know what you want to be so? Amen. I'm here to tell you that there are some things that you can do in the church that you can do that would call you admired, but there are some things that you've got to do for God that admiration will not get done. You must be anointed by the Holy Ghost of God. And I'll tell you why they're graduating from churches and they're leaving godly homes and their minds are filled with memorized verses and they've learned all the songs in the hymn book, and yet they leave the church, leave the house, they fall into sin, they act like they've never heard of God, they walk away from the things of God, and everybody's going, how him, how her, how could that happen? I'll tell you why. They were admired but never anointed. So tonight I want to ask you a question. Admired or anointed? Which one are you? It will be a matter of time before we find out, because there's only so far being admired can take you. Somebody say amen. Now let's look at admired David. I mean, he's an admirable boy. And I'm not criticizing his admirable qualities. I'm just simply saying God knew there were some things down the line for David that could only be accomplished through the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Now let's look at admired David. Number one, admired David had a servant's personality. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, in verse number 11, the Bible said, he keepeth the sheep. Listen to me. Shepherding was not an easy job. Shepherding was not a fancy job. Shepherding was not a popular job. But shepherding was a servant's job. He had a committed willingness. He had a consistent work. He had a compliant way. What do you mean he was compliant? Every time you see Jesse sending for him, he came. They fetched him. He came. Now, wait a minute now. You mean to tell me if David were alive in 2018 in the month of February, what would he look like? Well, David wouldn't have a problem getting a job. Amen. David wouldn't have a problem being consistent at his job. And David wouldn't have a problem obeying his authority. Wait a minute now. If you're here tonight, you ought not have a problem working. You ought not have a problem being consistent. And you certainly ought not have a problem being obedient. If you're a kid tonight, you ought to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, to your parents. You ought to come when you're called. You ought to submit to your authority. You ought to obey those that have the rule over you. You ought to be obedient. Now listen to me. We got churches full of obedient kids. That doesn't mean they're anointed. I've seen them go from yes ma'am for 12 years in school and leave yes ma'am as a senior and end up cussing 1 year later. Why? Because there's only so far admired will take you. There he is. He's a good boy. And there are some parents that would be happy to have a servant for a kid. Wouldn't you? I mean, aren't you glad if your kids say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am? Aren't you glad if they come every time they're called? Aren't you glad if they obey authority? Aren't you glad if they get a job? Amen. I think that's a good thing. Somebody say amen. But you don't have to be anointed to do that. There are lost people that do that. So he had a servant. Servant's personality. Number two, he had separated practices. Look at verse number 5. Jesse gathers all the sons together, says he's coming to sacrifice unto the Lord, and then he says to the boys these two words, sanctify yourselves. The word sanctify means to set apart, to make right. In other words, fellas, you're getting ready to stand before the man of God. Get yourselves pure before you stand before the man of God. Now watch this. Verse 11. Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thou children? He said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. Verse number 11. Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come thither. Verse number 12. He sent and brought him within. Now watch this now. All the rest of the boys had to be sanctified. They brought David forth. He didn't have to sanctify him. He was already separated. So what would David look like in 2018? Oh, he'd have good standards. If David were alive and David happened to be a girl, he dressed modest. She dressed modest. Amen. Are you listening to me? I mean, David would have different music than the rest of the kids in the youth group. David would have different kind of friends. He was sanctified. Man, the rest of the boys had to get ready to stand before the prophet. David was already ready. I'm just simply saying, if David were here tonight, David would have an obvious difference about him and an ongoing distinction about him. I mean, if you walked into a crowd, you could spot David and go, look at him. He looks different. He carries himself different. He dresses different. He acts different. He has a different look about him. I mean, that's a separated kid. You put David in the middle of a bowling alley, David would be jiving and shucking to all that music playing over the radio. David will be a separated boy. Why? He realized that separation was a big deal. Now, wait a minute now. We got kids that dress right, listen to the right kind of music. They don't talk the way that everybody else talks. They come to church, they go out in the world, and they look different than the rest of the world. But that doesn't mean they're anointed. You can fall into sin in a pair of culottes. Now, we're laughing. But sometimes we judge spirituality on the length of her dress and not the purity of her heart. Don't get quiet on me, because I'm all for modesty. And you get the heart right, it'll show up on the outside. But cleaning up the outside doesn't mean the inside's right. Separated. Number 3, skilled performance. Look at verse 16. Let's find somebody that can play the harp. Verse 18. David is cunning in playing. Now, wait a minute now. You say verses 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 come after the anointing. Yeah, they do. But do you really think that David started playing after he got anointed? He was already playing. And he was good. You got any skilled kids in your church? Doesn't mean they're anointed. Listen, we can fill up a choir loft with a bunch of teenagers that can sing the house down. That doesn't mean the Spirit of God's on them. Amen. Listen, we got church full of skill, but so does the world. I mean, they got skill on American Idol. They got skill on America's Got Talent. They got skill on The Voice. But up in here, you need more than skill. You need the touch of God. I said you need the touch of God. I'm telling you, David had a skilled performance about him. How you think that boy got good on the harp? I guarantee you, he had diligent preparation. You know how he could play the harp? He practiced playing the harp. And he had a demonstrated proficiency about him. There's no way you're being considered to play the harp for the king in the palace unless you got skills. I guarantee you, preacher, in this building tonight, there's some kids that can play instruments. There's some boys that can play sports. There's some girls that can do all kinds of mathematical problems. There are some of you that are talented. You're packed with potential. There's some athletes in the building. There's some artists in the building. There's those who can act in the building. There's all kind of skill in the building. And by the way, thank God for skill. But there comes a time in the Christian life where all of the skill and all of the musical proficiency and the vocal inflection and the voice. And by the way, I've seen young men that could preach the heart's house down. They had great gestures. They had eye contact. They moved with purpose. They varied their pitch, their rate, their tone. They mastered the text. They were skilled in eloquence. They could handle the pulpit. They commanded respect. They were full of charisma. Shoes were shined. Tie matched. Handkerchief in their pocket. But they were as carnal as the devil.
And they didn't last. Because people looked at them and when they preached and went, boy, isn't that an admirable young man? But he wasn't anointed. Are you listening to me? See, there's only so far admired will take you. Now, look at verse number. Look again at chapter number 16. And let's look at verse number 13. Samuel took the horn and took the oil and anointed him. Now look what this verse says. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from what? That day forward. Look here. I'm telling you something, that boy changed. I said that boy changed. Now you say, preacher, are you preaching against them first three things? No, no, no. Because I'll tell you what, you're going to have a hard time with the next three things if you don't do the first three things. I'm not saying that the first three are bad. I'm just saying the first three aren't enough. I'm not saying coming to church is bad. You need to be here. I'm not saying reading the Bible is bad. You need to read it. I'm not saying praying is bad. You need to pray. I'm not saying standards are bad. You need them. I'm not saying skills are bad. If they were bad, God wouldn't have given them to you. I'm just simply saying if you think you're going to ride this Christian life on your standards, on your skills, and on your service, you better wake up because people with more standards, more skills, and more service than you have already fallen. You need anointing. What happened after David got anointed? Number one, spiritual presence about him. Hey, King, what's that you said you wanted? Well, I want somebody to play an instrument. Well, why, Saul? Because every now and then an evil spirit comes on me. Now, let me paraphrase. An evil spirit comes on me simply means every now and then the devil comes up in this palace. Now, watch this now. Saul said, I don't like the devil on me. So find me somebody that when the devil comes on me, that'll run him up out of me. Oh, they said, well, we think we got somebody. Really? Well, read me his resume. Let's read this resume of David. Well, King, we found out that this David has a cunning in harp playing. Okay, the boy can play. What else about him? You got this Bible that, wherever it is. Verse 18, mighty valiant. That boy ain't scared of fighting. Oh, that's pretty good. He's a man of war. Man, you can send him out to battle. He knows how to act. He's prudent in matter. The boy got common sense. Comely. Boy, he's a calm and a good-looking, beautiful young man. Well, that sounds great. But wait a minute, boys. I got the devil on me. We need more than that. Tell me the part of his resume that will guarantee him the job. Here it is. The Lord is with him. Boy, I feel a preaching storm coming on now. The Lord is with him. Hey, I tell you what, Saul, that devil coming up out of you ain't going to run because David can play that thing well. It ain't going to run because David looks cute and the devil said, I don't want to mess with that cute boy. He ain't going to run away from here because David knows how to fight. The devil knows how to fight too. He ain't going to run from here because David's got common sense. A bunch of folks got common sense. He ain't going to run away from here because David is prudent in matters. That sounds good, but I'll tell you, you get that boy up in here, the devil will get up out of here because that boy got God with him. Amen. Now, what is the requirement for kids to sing up here? Well, I heard her. She's got a great voice. So what? Oh, we better get him up there. Boy, that guy can play. Boy, he can string and pick like nobody's business.
So what?
Oh, got a good head on your shoulder. You ever had a conversation with him? Ask him questions. Got good common sense. Way beyond his years. So what? Oh, she's a wonder. She'd make a wonderful wife for my son. Why? She's gorgeous. So what? Yeah. I don't want to hear all that nonsense. Tell me if the Lord's on her. Yeah. Tell me if the Lord's on that boy. Yeah, I don't just want to see his outline. I want to see his character. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, how do you know the Lord's on him? I'll tell you know the Lord's on him because when he shows up, the devil gets out. I said when he shows up, the devil gets out. There was a spiritual presence on David, and people could tell there was a seeable aura about him. David didn't walk around and go, the Lord's on me, the Lord's on me, the Lord ain't on you, but he's on me. No, 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 no. Those kind of Christians don't have God on him. That's why they have to keep talking about it all the time, because they got to make up for the fact they don't have him. David didn't have to tell people God was on him. They could see God was on. Listen to me. They'll know God's on you. They'll know at the lunch table, they'll know God's on you. In front of the computer screen, they'll know God's on you. When you get in a car, they'll know God's on you. He had a seeable aura about him. He had a significant effect about him. He had a secured attendance about him. When Saul brought David in and the devil left, Saul said, hire him. Keep him. Oh, guys, don't you let that one slip away. There's something different about him. That evil in me doesn't feel comfortable when David's around. Well, I've grown up in church, and I go to youth rallies like this on Friday nights when the rest of my friends are at the movies and out partying, and I sing in the youth choir, and I go to youth camp, and I wear culottes, and I went to Awana's and Patch Club and King's Kids, and I know all the hymns, first and even the second and third verses in between the fourth. Come on now. I play guitar. I sing solos. I go on visitation. I work a bus route. I say to that, so what? Is God on you? Well, how do I know God's on you? Because the devil doesn't feel comfortable when you come around. You get in the car and they change the music station because they know that ain't going to fly with you in the car. You walk up and the joke gets ended before the punchline because they know you don't go for dirty jokes. Watch it now. Somebody say amen. You get invited over the party and everybody else doesn't show up because they know they can't live in that evil if you're there. I'm just simply saying, God give us boys and girls in 2018. When they show up, cussing gets out. When they show up, gossip goes out. When they show up, pornography goes out. Give us some boys in the locker room after the basketball game that when they walk in, the boys go, hold that thought, bite your tongue, clean up your mouth, don't tell that joke. God's in here. And the devil ain't comfortable. That takes anointing. Spiritual presence about him. Number two. Special passion about him. Chapter 17. The older brothers are qualified as warriors at the battle. The young brother follows Saul, but then has to go back home. The boy's up there at the battle, and David gets sent by daddy, not to fight, but to drop lunch off. So there he goes. Going to drop off lunch for my brothers. Because that's what obedient, anointed sons do. What they're told. Somebody say amen. Amen. Who is that? I ain't never seen a joker that big before. Look at his head. Looks like a watermelon. Man, that dude's about 9.5 feet tall. His armor weighs more than me. But that's not what really baffles me. Listen how he's talking.
Yes, sir, preacher. Yes, sir.
He's cussing about my God.
Yes, sir.
He's laughing at my Creator. He's mocking what I stand for. And I just got here. Now, wait a minute now. There were some admirable boys, a.k.a. his brothers, that had been there all along and could listen to Goliath and be unfazed. But when an anointed boy walks up on Goliath, he can't stand that. What in the world? Forget lunch. Y'all hear him? Y'all hear what he's saying? Y'all hear what he's doing? Y'all see how he's talking? He ain't talking about daddy. He talking about our Father, our Heavenly Father. Not our mama, our God. That don't bother you? Oh, you just admired. See, anointed people get stirred up when you start messing with their God. Admired people get stirred up when you start messing with their football team. Me too. Nothing wrong with that. As long as you move on to the anointing too. We got a bunch of churches full of admired kids. They come 3 times a week. They come to every activity. And they come to other churches on Friday night like this. But they go to school and they hear lying devil talk bad about their God and they're unfazed because they're not anointed. I'll tell you what the anointing does. It gives you passion. I don't have time to dissect all these verses, but his passion gave him a discerning instinct. Verse number 23. Nobody had to tell him that Goliath was out of line. The Holy Ghost of God told him that Goliath's out of line. Hey, let me tell you something. We'll spend less time preaching on certain kinds of music, preaching on certain kinds of pornography, preaching on certain kinds of television shows. We won't have to call him out. And by the way, I don't have enough knowledge or enough time to list all the shows, all the musical artists, all the places, and all the clothing styles that Christian kids shouldn't wear or shouldn't advocate. But what I do have enough time to do is to tell you to walk in the Spirit and to be filled with the Spirit so that when I'm not around you and that song comes on, you don't have to call me and say, can you hear that up in here? Is that something we should listen to? The Holy Ghost of God will tell you whether you should listen to it. I'm not making any sense, Emma. We're missing anointed kids. That's why they don't have any passion. There's a discerning instinct about him. There's a defensive impulse about him. Verse 26. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Oh, no. Let me paraphrase that. Oh, no, he didn't. Who is this guy? Y'all don't hear what I hear? No, I remember at 16 years old, God got a hold of my heart. When I got up off that altar, the things that didn't bother me started bothering me. Amen. Come on now. Amen. The things that bothered me before stopped bothering me. No, it wasn't that I got up and went to a new world. No. No, it's that I got introduced to God's world. I got a witness inside of me. Somebody help me preach. I said I got a witness inside of me. And when God is being lifted up, that witness goes, amen. And when God is being ridiculed, that witness goes, oh no. I'll tell you what that witness does. When you started singing them songs tonight, that witness goes, yeah. They're talking about my Savior. They're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when another kind of song comes on the television, that witness goes, hit the mute button. Some of y'all are going, well, I don't hear that witness. That's because you're not anointed. I'm not bragging on me. Because let me tell you something. There are times when I'm not. Yeah. I tell you one thing. What makes you a good Christian is not that you never are not anointed. What makes you a good Christian is that it bothers you when you're not. And you don't let it stay. Amen. But what about David and Bathsheba? Yeah, that's in the Bible. He messed up. But if he hadn't been anointed, he'd have stayed messed up. Psalm 51's in the Bible because the Holy Ghost got in charge. Psalm 38's in the Bible because the Holy Ghost got in charge. And Acts 13 says of David, after he fell with Bathsheba, he's a man after God's own heart, because admired people would have stayed in the ditch. But an anointed man says, I can't stay here. God's not done with me. Special passion. A discerning instinct about him. Nobody has to tell you it ain't right. The Holy Ghost does. We can't ever raise our kids where we follow them everywhere we go, everywhere they go. We can't send spies. Listen to me. We can try to do all we can to get them to live right. But at some point, they got to leave our presence. They got to go out without us. We got to go separate ways. But may the God of the universe teach us to raise kids that will learn to listen to the Holy Ghost of God, so that mama and preacher and daddy aren't watching. The Holy Ghost is talking. Determined, desired involvement. Let me fight him. Verse 29. Even when his brothers thought he was too young, let me fight him. Did you hear that? Verse 29, is there not a cause? Verse 32, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. I tell you what anointed kids do. They volunteer. Now, you can get an admired kid to go on visitation if you ask him. But an anointed kid won't be asked. He'll be asking you. Some of y'all didn't say amen. Now, you asked to be the first person in line for pizza, but do you ask to be the first person in line for soul winning? Well, no, I mean, I'm out there because that's what we're supposed to do. But I'm sure glad when time's up, we can get out this hot sun and get back in the bus and stop by 7-Eleven or somewhere, whatever y'all got up here, and get me a slushy and a slurpee and a Mountain Dew or something, because I'm glad my little hour of winning people to the Lord is over, so I can say I put the, no. I'll tell you what anointed kid goes. Let's go out and knock on doors, preacher. Take me with you. Give me some tracks. Let's go tell some, there's an unction to function inside of me. I'm not waiting to be drafted. I'm volunteering. Desired involvement and determined intentions. What do you mean? He wanted in on it. And not just his brothers. The king discouraged him. I went to school with some kids. They were called to preach like I was. They're not preaching. I got a handkerchief somewhere. Here it is. I put it in my pocket. Next thing I'm going to do is design a suit with one pocket. Why? Because you know if you have it, it's in that one. They're not preaching today. What happened? God changed his mind? No, they wanted in on it. But somewhere along the way, somebody said, nah, don't get in on it. Could have been somebody with a better offer. For some of it, it was a coach with a scholarship. For some of them, it was a girl with a tight skirt on. And they dropped the calling of God because somebody else was calling. Come on now. They weren't anointed. Because you know what anointed people do? They want to get in on it. And when people tell them, don't get in on it, they insist, I want in on it. And they won't be quiet until you let them in. So finally, people trying to keep them from get in say, we better let them in. Because if we don't, they're going to keep bugging us to get somebody help me preach. Amen. I mean, when God called me, God put preacher in me. I say, God put preacher in me. Not daddy. My daddy was a pastor, still preaching. My mama loved me, beat the devil out of me. I grew up listening to great men preach, but I learned after a while that ain't enough to keep you preaching. Some of you look at preachers and say, I'd like to do that one. Listen to me. You stand in the life of a preacher one day, you'll find out you'll get more of a bullseye on you that the devil puts on you than you ever had sitting in the pew. You say, why are you still preaching? Because the Holy Ghost of God keeps roaring in my heart and firing me up in my soul. I gotta preach. Amen. Now, where are the girls in here? I gotta sing for the Lord. Not because I can sing, but because he put a song in my heart. We got some of these boys that want the pastor's pulpit. You don't need the pastor's pulpit to preach. There are places all over to preach. Preach in the school, preach in the locker room, preach on the bus on the way to the youth rally tonight. If you got preaching you, I guarantee you it'll come out faster and quicker than diarrhea. Amen. I'm telling you, if it's in you and it's boiling inside of you, it's going to come out. Where the kids say, I got a soul win. Because there's something in me. And watch this now.
The anointing won't let people stop you from letting out what's in you. Now let me give you one more and I'm done. With the anointing, he had spiritual presence on him. With the anointing, he had special passion on him. And with the anointing, he had supernatural power on him. There's a giant here. Whew. And he's 9.5 feet tall. You tall? You taller than him? No, come here a second. Can you come here a second? Come here. Now look here just a moment. What's your name, buddy? No, it's not. It's David. You see what he said? That's a good boy. He said, well, that's your dad. What you want to call me? No. Now let's just with our naked eye, look up here. He can't beat him. No way. He's too big. Well, you say he takes karate, he takes taekwondo, he's come from good genes. I don't care what kind of genes he come from. I don't care what kind of genes he got on. He can't beat him. Listen, I don't care how well he plays a harp. You hear me? I don't care how much differently he dresses from the rest of the world. Listen to me. I don't care how good of a yes, sir, yes, ma'am, please, and thank you mannered kid he is. That ain't enough to beat him. But wait a minute now. With anointing on this boy, he can't beat him. No, you better say amen. Listen, I don't care how big his spear is. I don't care how big his sword is. I don't care how big his head is. I don't care how big his boots are. If he's anointed, he can't beat him. If he's only admired, he can't beat him. Now here's the danger. Every single one of you kids in this building tonight is going to face a giant that's bigger than you. I'm talking about sex, drugs, immorality, depression, idolatry, suicide, and everything else that social media puts on your face that the average statistics tell us you all spend 11 hours and 23 minutes a day on it. You can't beat the devil spending 11 hours and 23 minutes a day on social media. You can't beat the devil not getting on social media unless you're anointed. Now here's what's happening, Brother Gilbert. Good kids that coast through elementary school and high school because they're admirable. Somewhere around 15, 16, 17, 18, they walk up on him. And he chuckles and laughs and ridicules and goes, your parents ain't here now. Your youth group ain't here now. You're in college now. You're grown now. Nobody's making you go to church. You got to go to church because you want to. And they go, whoa. Whoa, everything I've had up to this point ain't enough to beat him. And he went. But you give me somebody's anointing. I'm talking about somebody's in the word. I'm somebody's yield to the Holy Ghost of God. No. He don't need a spear. He don't need a big sword. He don't even need a big head. All he needs is a slingshot God gave him. And I'll tell you, let me tell you something. An anointed boy like this can get to the marriage altar a virgin. An anointed boy like this can get called at 9 and be preaching at 40. Come on, somebody say amen. An anointed boy like this can go to school, listen to me, can go in the world but not have the world in him. Would you hear me now? An anointed boy like this can be mocked by his brothers, get thrown down in the pit, end up in Potiphar's house, and end up down in the prison, end up back in the palace, and end up providing for his family. Not because he was the best kid on the block, but because the Lord was with him. I'm sorry. Man, you're doing great. We're losing. And I'm broken about it. I grew up in church. You heard me say I was a drug baby. Drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Listen, I grew up in a pastor's home. You see any pastor's kids falling? All the time. By the way, while I'm at it, you see any pastors falling? I'm talking, you ever seen any admirable pastors falling? You had anybody fall who signed your Bible? I have. Preached the paint off the wall. And everybody went, wow, what a preacher. You know what that means? He's admirable. Holy Ghost of God wasn't on him. He'll fall just like somebody's never preached. And everybody will go, how could he fall? What happened? Not what happened. How did he fall so fast? No. And not necessarily he fell so fast. He ran out of admirable gas. And there's, listen, the terrain of this life is too rugged and too rough to think you're going to navigate it through filling your gas tank up with admiration. The only kind of car that can weather the storms of life is one that's anointed. And here he comes, huffing and puffing. I don't come to you with swords and spears. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Come on, somebody say amen. Stay right there just a moment. Place confidence in God. Verse 45, promoted cause that all the earth may know. Verse 46 and 47, and a phenomenal conquest. Listen to me. That melon head fell out on his face. David climbed up on him, cut his head off with his own sword. And everybody, Philistine and Israelite, saw that victory. And let me tell you something. Sometimes we're big at rating the kids on the outside that look great as being most likely to succeed. They fall flat on their face. And sometimes it's the kids we disdain or the preacher we think doesn't have enough eloquence to string together a fancy sermon to make you want to have him sign your Bible. But he's got the anointing of God on him. I'd rather be a preacher with the anointing of God on me that never signed a Bible than a little whiz kid that's got everybody in the church going, ooh, isn't he awesome? But 10 years from now, he can't spell church with a dictionary in his hand. And I want to make it very clear. If I don't preach one more meeting, if I don't sign one more Bible, and if I don't go anywhere else and get known by anybody else, I don't care. I can give all that up. But what I cannot survive without. So here's my question. Thank you. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. What a good kid. I got to give that boy something. I'm going to give you some money after service. You did such a wonderful job. I got to find out which bill to get. So I got to wait a little bit a second. I won't give you the wrong one. I might not be able to get back home. Amen. Here's my question. This is my message. We see not in two people's lives in this passage, in the same person's life. There are good things you can do without the Spirit. But the godly things you can only do with the Spirit. The simple question tonight is this. Admirable or anointed? Which one are you? Our Father,